Hey everyone, this is Jennifer Javornik. I'm podcasting here for the Filament Games podcast, this time from CES in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are in day one of the show. I'm so excited to talk to so many amazing guests today. And I am kicking off these interviews with someone who I've known and Filament's known now for a few years, and I'd love her to introduce herself.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Amanda Kreischer from the Mental Health Association of Maryland. I am excited to be here representing our Engage with Skills Training programs, which is our nonprofit initiative focused on skills training for older adult care workers, building on empathy, respect, and effective communication. And I'm the senior director for that program.
That's awesome. So what do you think of CES so far?
This is an amazing event, slightly overwhelming at times, but really fantastic to see all of the great innovation related to gaming and older adult care. I spent some of my morning in the Aging Collaborative with AARP and had a chance to kind of test out what it actually feels like to try to move around as an older adult and kind of build some of that empathy, which was a really amazing experience. So I'm very excited to learn more and see kind of where the tech industry is going to continue to support our older adults.
You know, I was walking kind of the healthcare pavilion this morning, and I was really took note and was surprised at how much tech and innovation there was in supporting older adults, especially in kind of assisted living or even at home care. And I felt what was really cool is a lot of the tech, like this new generation of tech, is really focused on dignity and respect. Yes. While promoting environments that are safe, secure, and would alert someone or if something were to happen. But a lot of it was trying to be like very respectful of their privacy and their daily habits and stuff. So I feel like there's some great innovation starting there.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that I noticed too, is really being able to get people to recognize what are the needs that the older adult has. How do you implement your technology to fit for an older adult? We don't always think about how their physical bodies are changing and what that impact will be on the technology that they're bringing into their homes. And so really having that empathetic experience of saying, this is, you know, what it feels like. It's harder to maneuver. It's harder to hear things or see things. It really gets people kind of in the mindset of, we need to do something differently.
So tell me a little bit about how you are leveraging technology in what you do in training home healthcare providers.
So we have absolutely been so excited to really drive our training initiatives through technology. So originally our program started as a live in-person training, which is great in a lot of aspects, but not very scalable. And so when I started with the organization back in 2019, my whole job was to create an online virtual training experience so that we could scale our program, bring more people into our training, and really have a chance to leverage the technology to make it a cool and unique experience. So our training takes place in a virtual platform. So it's built on a gaming platform. So everybody comes in as an avatar. They have a chance to kind of customize that avatar and find somebody that really represents them. And the instructors are there live in person to guide them through the conversation. So that's really different than a lot of the other trainings that organizations in the long-term care and aging services space use. More of the kind of short micro learning, watch a video, answer some questions, and move on. What makes our training so different and unique is that we really take time to give people an experience, to make sure that they have a time to practice what we're teaching them, because that's where the real learning happens, where we can say, here's how we're going to practice or learn about being respectful to an older adult. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity to actually practice that, put it in play in this safe environment where it's okay if you make a mistake because you're going to learn and nothing bad is going to happen to you or the older adult other than you're learning from that experience and now can say, okay, next time I might do something different. Right.
So one of the games, the way we know each other is you guys contracted us to build kind of one of your training games, you know, so far one of your first training games. Mm-hmm. And the name for that game is called Demonstrating Respect. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that game?
Sure. So all of our training is based on skills. So everything that we do, every activity that we learn is going to be a hands-on skill that our participants can take with them. So the Demonstrating Respect game is actually the part of the very first skill that we introduce people to in our training. And it gives people an opportunity to meet some older adults and try to interact with them. And they do that through kind of a choose your own adventure type of platform. And so there's a choice of, you know, A or choice B. And depending on what they choose, the older adult's going to react in a particular way. So their goal is to demonstrate respect to that older adult, to make sure they're meeting their responsibilities, and to make sure that they're providing effective care. So as they go through, they have little bubbles that pop up to say, I can do this or I can do this, and this will impact these parts and this will impact that part. And it gives them a chance to really see, how does one interaction potentially change my entire conversation? So one of my favorite older adults that's in the game is our character Joe, who is kind of your very stern army veteran, has this kind of attitude of, you know, do things the right way. And if you try to approach him with a friendly, upbeat, sort of exciting kind of conversation, it does not work for him at all. He gets really frustrated. He doesn't like baby talk. And in that moment, it's a chance to say, oh, wait a minute. Like, I myself am a bright and bubbly person, so my interactions often are going to be sort of very friendly and open. But knowing that about the person means that I can change my interaction. I can come in and maybe not quite have as much excitement or pep or sort of that sing-songy type of conversation, because I know that that's not going to work for that person. Whereas our friend Sally in the game, she loves everybody and she's happy-go-lucky. And you know, if you talk with her in that sense, she's going to have a more positive reaction than Joe did. So it's great to give people a chance to really discover how their actions are going to impact it, and that their actions that work for one person might not work for another.
So this game is something that is part of a bigger curriculum.
Yes.
So how did you decide, where did you decide to place it in the curriculum, and kind of how much teaching is around, what happens before the person being trained plays the game?
Mm-hmm. So we have in our main training, our core skills, foundation, what everyone needs to know, we talk about 8 different skills. And we actually start off skill number 1 with demonstrating respect, because that's really the root of everything. We can't move into effective communication. We can't move into effective interactions until we are able to respect that person. So when our participants come into the training, in the beginning of the training, we kind of give some demographic information. We talk about the growing population of older adults. We talk about some common mental health concerns that they might be facing. And then we introduce them to this concept of effective engagement. And how do we effectively engage with a person? Well, we need to make sure that we're understanding their expectations, understanding their perspective of the situation, what's unique to them and their needs. So that starts that foundation of, now that we know about a person's expectations, their experiences, their perspective on the care that they're getting, now we can say, okay, we know this about this person. Now let's think about, how do we show respect to that person? So we do a little bit of a discussion around, what do you as a participant consider to be respectful? We always start our conversations with the person in the room, because when we can do that, that's where we're really going to be able to build that empathy. If you can think about the situation from your own perspective, translating that to the older adult is going to be a lot easier. So we say, okay, What do you do to be respectful when you're interacting with other people? What do you say? How do you address people? Do you call them by their first name? Do you call them Mr. or Mrs.? It's interesting because, you know, depending on what part of the country we're training in, there's different ways that people Sure. respect each other. So getting people to really think about what does that look like? And then switching gears and saying, okay, so for you, this is what respect looks like. What do you think might be the same or different for an older adult? So there might be some things that are similar. There might be some things that aren't. And right there is where we say, okay, now we're going to give you a chance to practice and think about, you know, your respect, the respect that an older adult or someone else might have. We're going to play this game. We're going to, usually we allow in the training just for time purposes, most people have a chance to meet one or two of the older adults of the four that we have. And then after they've completed the training, we send them the link so that they can play the game. And I tell them all the time, play it as many times as you want. Try different characters, try different responses, try different avatars. See how your physical appearance, your conversation changes in interaction. Because you can make them mad enough that they'll actually kick you out of the room. And that's a really great opportunity to say, okay, yep, now I know these are those things that I absolutely want to avoid. So it gives people that chance to kind of practice for a little bit of time. And then we come back together and we say, okay, what was that experience like? What did you learn from that? What were kind of your key takeaways? And what we hear most often at the end of the training, sort of across the board, is that this is one of the favorite activities for our participants. They love how real it feels, how they can say, oh my goodness, I absolutely have had an interaction that was almost identical to this, and how it really gives them that opportunity to practice in that safe environment. After one of my trainings, I had a participant call me up. We finished, it was a late evening training. We finished up the training. Almost immediately, my phone rang and she said, Amanda, when am I going to get the link to this game? I want to play more. I want to do more. And that right there was the whole reason why we put this in the training.
Okay, but that's after they've played it. Yes. What happens when you first tell them I'm going to play a game?
Honestly, people get really excited because it's a different experience. And I think industry-wide, in training in general, there's been some recent reports that have come out that for anyone who's working to support older adults, whether they're aging in place or in a long-term care center, one of the top drivers for that group is training and education. It's not money. It's not, you know, increased wages or any, and that's obviously important to them too. But this current research said 70% of those staff members want more training. Mm. And so when people, you know, I'm sure there's probably some who sort of roll their eyes and kind of grumble about it. But in general, the reception of it is extremely positive and people get really excited to have that opportunity. One of our administrators that we worked with recently, she had come in for her second part of the training. We were just sort of talking about how her team was doing. And she told me that two of her relatively high ranking staff members, supervisors, managers had completely bombed out with one of the characters. And I stopped for a second and I said, okay, well, was it intentional? Because sometimes it's kind of fun to just be like, can I really make this person mad? And you can. And she said, no, they actually thought that they were doing the right thing. And that gave me pause for a moment because what that told me was what a great and amazing learning opportunity for those staff members who thought that they were doing the right things, who have probably taught their other staff that they're supervising the same things to realize, wait a minute, I missed the mark somehow, and now I can change my approach. So it was so great. I kind of laughed a little bit because I thought, you know, she's probably really upset that her team members sort of flunked out of this. But I said, no, I think that's great because that was their opportunity to learn. Safe environment, gives them that chance to really have that hands-on practice, which is so different than so many other training platforms, that it really is where we see those changes. It's where that cultural shift starts to happen because people are doing things differently.
Well, I think the difference is it's easy to understand something intellectually, but how to translate that into actual words and actions, sometimes it's a big jump. So actually, like, that's why for years in training, we've done role play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of people don't like standing in front of class. Everyone hates role play.
I hated it when I was in grad school, too. But it really does make such a difference.
Right. Well, I always feel that, like, digital simulations is kind of the best of role play, but without the anxiety of being in front of the class.
Absolutely. And that's what this game really gives people the chance to do, because they're taking it on their own screen. No one sees what's happening around them. Their colleagues and coworkers don't know if they've made a mistake, quote unquote, or if they have failed out of a person's room. It's so specific to them in that moment that it gives them an opportunity to kind of let their guard down and really be able to explore, what does this do for me if I answer this versus this? And what's interesting, too, is in kind of preparation for the game, we tell people, you know, this is what it's going to be like. Here's how you're going to kind of maneuver through. And I usually say to people, choose the answer that's closest to what you would do, not the quote unquote right answer or the one that you think we want you to choose. Because honestly, depending on who they're interacting with, the right answer could be something different, even based on how their avatar looks. So for example, if their avatar has tattoos, then the way that they respond is going to be different than if their avatar doesn't, or if the older adult has an opinion about that. Some of them don't care. Others in the game, they do, and they kind of tell you, like, hey, I'm watching you, because my experience with people who have tattoos is a negative one. And so we see also that opportunity to recognize some of those stereotypes. We have them a lot in aging, and it also gives our participants a chance to see, you know, how an older adult may still have stereotypes about us as the workers, as the younger generation. And that, again, gives us that chance to say, okay, this is what I consider respectful as being a part of this particular generation, but I now know my baby boomers are going to be more focused on X, Y, and Z. So I need to think differently and have more of a conversation that's related to X, Y, and Z.
That makes so much sense. So what I think, I was really excited to talk to you today because since we made this game a couple of years ago, you've been training with it for a while.
Yes.
So I'd love to understand, or if you'd be willing to share some of the results that you've seen through a game-based learning practice.
Absolutely. So we have now been using this training platform for about 3 years, which means we've had a lot of time to really look at its effectiveness. And so our original research and studies that we did on the training were when we were doing them live in person. And what we looked at in that particular situation was, can we move the needle with staff turnover? So if we can get the majority of participants or the majority of staff in an agency to come and participate in the training, can we keep them in their position? And so we looked at staff turnover rates in our original study, and what we found was there was a shift. When we were able to train a roughly 70 or so percent of the staff members, we saw that reduction in staff turnover somewhere between 20 and 50%. Our sort of average ended up being about 40. When we converted the program to our live virtual model, we did another study, and this time we looked at the customer service of the employees. So how is their customer service skills changing after they've had an opportunity to engage in the training? So the supervisors rated them all on a scale of 0 to 5 pre-training. 3 months later, rated them again, and we saw almost a full point increase in customer service scores. So again, we saw we are moving the needle
results.
Where people are really finding ways to interact differently. Our last study that we did looked at how does us training the staff members impact the older adults? Because obviously we want the staff members to be happy. We want them to stay in their positions. We want them to feel valued. But we also need to make sure that those older adults that they're caring for are still being well cared for and that they're getting what they need as well. And what was amazing about that study is we saw a couple pretty significant results for our older adults. So first of all, we found that the older adults felt better cared for, better respected, and better listened to after the staff had participated in the training, which was incredible because those are really the three kind of key things that we're focusing on in the training. We also looked at PRN medication use. So in the long-term care industry, especially in the kind of center-based care, we have seen a lot of scrutiny around PRN medication use for, so that would be things like antipsychotic medications, pain medications, and there's a lot of eyes on the situation right now because some places were prescribing these medications based on a diagnosis that might not have been accurate. Mm. So being able to reduce some of that use would be a great added benefit to the training. And even though our sample size was very small in that particular study, we did see a decrease in that PRN medication use, especially for those who were living in an assisted living center. So not as much of that hands-on care. But the staff there obviously felt better equipped to manage challenging behaviors or difficulties that were maybe coming up that they didn't necessarily turn to that medication. They went to the interventions that they learned. The other amazing thing about that particular group was we did their training in June of 2022.
Yep.
And in October of 2023, they still had 76% of their staff members who took the original training over a year earlier employed, which in the industry is unheard of. Most people change positions roughly every 6 months.
Oh, wow. So 73% is significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that 76% was really incredible. And the administrator to that particular building, in conversations that she and I have had, knows that part of that retention, part of that reason why people are staying is because they have the knowledge, they feel valued, and they're better prepared to deal with the challenges that they might be facing on a day-to-day basis.
Wow. You know, I think one of the issues just in game-based learning as a practice is that everyone, especially when you think about enterprise applications, specifically healthcare or others, that people, you know, before they invest the time, money, and energy to develop a game intervention, they want to know what the ROI is, but the ROI is so specific to each individual game. So there's been some meta studies that show like, well, we took a lot of these studies about individual games, and here's the themes and trends that we've found within those studies. You know, but everyone's looking for like that smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you've got a smoking gun. I mean, it's very particular to your industry, of course, and your intervention and how you do it. But I mean, those types of results are really significant.
Absolutely. And what we're finding now is that when we can get in front of people and say to them, this is why this training is going to benefit you. This is why our training is different. Here's the great and amazing things that can happen when your staff members have this opportunity. That's when people start to kind of raise their hand a little bit more and say, tell me more. Because in this industry, healthcare in general has been facing a crisis for a very long time that's not going to change tomorrow. But what we're seeing is people really thinking about how do we manage our workforce differently? How do we make sure that they have the tools and the resources that they need to be effective? because we know, particularly this generation that's entering the workforce now, they're not afraid to leave their job and find something that has better benefits or, you know, more perks or whatever the case might be. They need to feel valued. And if they don't feel valued in their position, they're not going to stay. And you can show your staff members how much you value them by continuing to provide opportunities for training. Because the more tools that you can put in a person's toolkit, the more effective they're going to be in their position, the more empowered they're going to feel to make good decisions and not question. Maybe it's not so much that I have to run every single thing by my supervisor, but I have the knowledge, I have the skills, I have the experience in order to effectively manage the situation. And when you have that empowerment as a staff member, that feels amazing. And you're going to stay in a company that's going to value that for you.
No, absolutely. I mean, one question, especially for people listening to this podcast, whether they're in your industry or an adjacent industry or a very different industry, what kind of advice would you get them if they're thinking about like implementing a game-based learning approach to their training? Or what do you guys wish you would have known before you started this journey?
I think one of the main lessons learned is that game-based training is how we move the needle. It's how we actually see those cultural shifts, those changes in the way that a person behaves, because they have that opportunity to practice it right then and right there. And so that is such a huge piece to being successful with this, is finding ways to give people those opportunities to have small wins. Finding even just the smallest things. I've done some presentations and things like that where it's just, you know, having a survey on the screen when you're at a presentation and tell me more about you in the audience. Giving people just those small, tiny pieces helps it feel more interactive. It gives people an opportunity to feel like they're really a part of the training experience and that they're not just being lectured. So I think when you're talking about game-based learning, it's finding that balance between giving good information, having that lecture, because that's, you've got to build the foundation for them, having that piece, but then also having those experiences, those opportunities to practice those activities.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely.
You had so many great nuggets out of this podcast.
Thank you.
A great time at CES, and thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thanks for listening to the Filament Games podcast. If you'd like to hear more about games, game-based learning, and what's happening at our studio, subscribe today on iTunes or Stitcher. And be sure to visit us at our website, filamentgames.com.